your worst nightmare. If you were sent home with liver cancer and there was no medical hope, what would you do? Especially if you didn't believe in miracles, in healing. Next on this edition of It's Supernatural. Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, here with Mark and Marlene Werning. I mean, one time she got 3 months notice, you're going to die in 3 months. Another time, 1 week, you're going to die. I mean, how can people take this? How did it all start?
I got sick at work, and I passed out.
Sick of work or sick?
Sick at work. And I passed out, and I had flu-like symptoms, and they took me to the doctor. And the doctor examined me, thinking I had the flu, felt my liver, and said, something else is going on.
But from what I understand, it took a couple of years for them to figure out that something else. What kind of doctors you're going to anyway? A couple of years?
They didn't know what hepatitis C was at that time. I had been tested for everything under the sun because I was a nurse. And they finally came up with hepatitis non-A, non-B, which is what it remained for a couple of years.
Now, help me out. What does hepatitis C mean?
It's a form of hepatitis.
Okay, but is it is hepatitis terminal? Is it?
Hepatitis C, you can live with it, you can die with it or die of it. That's exactly what the doctor said to me. Your whole diet has to change, your whole routine has to change, and if you're real lucky, you'll die from something else. But it normally goes into cirrhosis or liver cancer.
What a prognosis.
Yes.
That's awful.
Well, it took a long time for them to reach that prognosis because there was no study on it.
Well, all right, now you got the prognosis. Mm-hmm. Now you know you got a death sentence.
Right.
Did they have any medication that would help you?
They kept coming up with experimental medication that was pretty much passed through because of the AIDS patients. And hepatitis C people got it because of that. You know, they were able to get experimental meds.
But did it help you any?
The first time, it put me in remission for about 5 years. I would say remission, but it wasn't really, you didn't feel good. You were just able to go on.
Sounds like an awful life.
It was terrible.
I mean, you almost treat it a little light because it's in the past, but it must have been a horrible life.
It was. You were in constant pain.
Well, when did you get the 3 month sentence?
Oh, they were giving me 6 months, 3 months. It depended on the doctor.
Hmm. So, when did you, Mark, when did you come on the scene?
I had come on the scene. Marlene and I had met, and at that time, I didn't know that she was sick. And through a friend of ours, we were introduced, and I soon found out that she was sick, and at that point, that she was dying. And at that time, they had said that there was, well, we didn't say that there was liver cancer, but that it was heading towards that. And that's where I had come.
What difference did it make with what was going on anyway? But when you moved in to take care of her, what was she like physically?
When I moved in, she was in bed solidly for 3 months. She could not keep any food down. She could not keep anything down. I had a real estate office at that time. And I had closed that office down to stay with her for 24 hours a day because someone there.
Why did you do that?
There was a bond between us that I had never experienced. The love was so strong that
She's dying.
I didn't look at that. I really didn't look at that. I thought that there was always hope. There was something that was there that was inside of me that needed to be there, that needed to help. That needed to love her.
Now, you went down to what weight?
I think in the 70s, wasn't it? I don't remember much about those
70 odd pounds. When she was in bed, all her muscles had atrophied. When we say that she was in bed for 3 months, she was literally in bed for 3 months. We would have to pick her up and carry her in to take a bath. She couldn't even move. She couldn't lift her hand to even comb her hair. And we'd blow dry her hair and get her cleaned up and get her back into bed. That's all she could do. She couldn't move. You would hold her skin up and her skin would stay up. Everything had gone on. Everything had atrophied and her color. She was gray. She had no life in her eyes. She was going to seizures every single night. It was that kind of situation.
How bad was the pain?
It was excruciating.
Nothing that they could give you?
I mean, no, and I had, by the time I met Mark, I'd been through 20 some years of this. And it got to the point where I couldn't, there were pain meds I couldn't tolerate. And finally, they gave me Percodan. What was I on?
Percodan, you were on 200 Percodan a week.
And it wasn't, it was taking the edge off, but I was still in pain.
Did you want to live?
No.
But what about Mark now? He's in love with you. What's going on with you? You just don't even want to live.
I just told him I'd see him in heaven. You know, I just couldn't deal with this anymore.
Did you pray to die?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. But there was a singer that, how did you know about this singer?
I had seen her on television for years, and I just always wanted to meet the woman.
What was her name?
Vestal Goodman.
So you saw her on TV. She's a singer.
Yes.
And you liked her, and you wrote her a letter. And
actually, no, Mark did all that. Mark
you
set
wrote
that
her
up.
Letter. Why?
Yes. Marlene, one of the things that Marlene had said to me was that she always wanted to meet this lady. And at that time, it was a few months back before we got this last death sentence. And what had happened was they were coming to New England. And I found that out, and I tried to put together a situation through people that I knew so that I could have her meet her. It was just a fan situation at that time. That's all it was. And we were able to do that.
Now, Marlene wanted to die. And as a matter of fact, when they set up to go to this concert, Marlene almost backed out of it. She felt so bad. But guess what happened? An absolute miracle. Be back right after this. Hello, YouTube. Mishpocha. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural. Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, here with Mark and Marlene Werning in cancer, hepatitis, dying from both, not even wanting to live. I mean, you couldn't do the basic necessities of life. Mark had to carry you anywhere. So tell me the truth now. I'm just curious. Were you doing, for a woman you love, were you just doing one of her last wishes? She wanted to go to a concert, or did you think something good might happen from the concert?
Honestly, I was just trying to fulfill a wish of hers that she wanted to have done. That's all I was trying to do.
Day of the concert, you remember it?
Yes.
Tell me what happened.
What had happened was that morning, Marlene and I, actually said our goodbyes. And she didn't want to go because she just could not even get up. And her father had come over and we asked her, I said to her, Marlene, this is the last thing that I could possibly do for you. And would you please go? And she finally reluctantly agreed to go to that concert.
She wanted to go, but you were reluctant because she felt so awful.
I was so sick. I hadn't eaten in 3 months. Mm.
So you went to the concert.
We went to the concert. We carried her in. We were actually asking if she wanted a wheelchair to get her in, and she refused to do that. And her father and I had carried her arm on each side and brought her down the stairs. And we were able to, at that point, we were able to get front row seats because her hearing was gone, her eyes were gone, and she just, that's all that she had was, we could just try and get her to that point. Through that, we had made arrangements for her to go backstage to meet Vestal.
So I assume you carried her backstage?
Yes.
Yes.
Her son and myself took one on
Vestal's son.
And Vestal's son. We were on each side of her, and we basically dragged her back there. If you want to think of it that way. And she, Vestal had come out, and then I'll let Marlene say from there.
I just looked at her, and she said, "Hi, honey." And I said, "Hi." And she said, "How are you doing?" I said, "Not well." She said, "What happened?" I said, "The doctor pulled the chemo." And she immediately went into prayer.
How did she pray for you?
She ordered Lucifer out of my liver.
Did she know about your liver cancer?
No.
From the letter you wrote?
No.
It was never addressed.
She knew that.
She just put her hand on my liver and ordered Lucifer out, the spirit of cancer out.
What was going on inside of you as she's praying?
I felt like Jesus picked me up in his arms, and I just felt this incredible love I can't describe. And I heard an audible voice. He told me he loved me. And she continued to pray.
Out of curiosity, you're 70 pounds, you haven't eaten in months, you're in constant pain and horrible things going on in your life, and all of a sudden, Jesus lifts you in his arms and says, I love you. I bet you never wanted to leave.
No, I did not. I wanted to go with him. It was just the most amazing feeling I've ever felt. Some people feel heat, you know, some people feel something cold, and I just felt love, absolute love.
What does love feel like? I know something.
I can't even describe this.
Right now, I'm feeling the presence of God, and that's love.
Right,
but it was way beyond
way that. Beyond that. Way beyond that.
That's enough to last someone a lifetime.
Yes, it is.
So what happened with the hepatitis and the liver cancer and the death sentence?
Well, Vestal, knowing that I was a nurse, told me I need to go back to the doctor and get all these tests repeated. And I said...
Did you know something different happened when you had that experience with Jesus?
I stood up by myself. I ran back to my seat.
What did you think when she did that?
He was chasing me.
Chasing her?
I was chasing
After
her.
After all this, I don't blame you.
I was chasing her. I watched it. You saw the color in Marlene. You could literally see the color come up in her skin and go completely over her face, where color came back. She was a gray ash with no life in her eyes. All of a sudden, you saw a color come, a sparkle in her eye, and she was standing there, and she was standing by herself. And she just... She turned, and when Vestal said that you were healed and you're out of pain, she didn't even realize she was out of pain. Mm-hmm. And she was instantly out of pain, and she, at that point, we said her goodbyes, and she ran back to her seat. Ran back.
What about your appetite?
I went out to eat that night. I told my dad, I'm starving, and I want to go eat.
That was almost a sign that something had drastically changed.
He didn't know what to think, but he said, okay. And then he watched me because he thought I was going to be sick again, and I was... having a good old time eating.
Now, I assume you went back to the doctor.
I did go back. I got all the tests repeated.
I have something here from Dr. Van Dyke, and it says, to whom it may concern, I've been the physician of Marlene from May 1988 through December 1999. As of May 26, 1999, office visit, blood test revealed, no evidence of cancer.
That's right.
What about that hepatitis? You were the longest standing person, I think, in history of having this hepatitis.
From what I understand, Naomi Judd also. From what I understand, she was also.
What happened to the hepatitis?
Gone.
Where'd it go?
God healed me, and when he healed me, he healed me.
Now, you told me before we started this show that God describes someone to you that is going to be healed instantly. I say instantly. When we come back, these two people suffered so much, they love God so much, that miracles are going to take place. Don't go away. Be right back. Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, here with Mark and Marlene Warning. And hepatitis, no cure, dying. Liver cancer, no cure, dying, not wanting to live. Went to a concert, Vestal Goodman. And this is a woman that she just had this wish, I want to go see her. Did you know that she prayed for the sick when you went to see her?
No.
You just wanted to, you just
I
liked
just
her music.
I just wanted to meet her, right, as a fan.
But something happened to both of you. You were in a broken position, as broken as you can get. Mm-hmm. And when the anointing came on you for the healing, and I mean, just, I'll tell you, you're provoking me to jealousy. Jesus lifted you in his arms and said, I love you.
But something happened to you at that time. It's kind of, you got a backlash, a good backlash of the presence of God's love, and you move in miracles and words of knowledge. You told me before the show started that God told you about someone. Would you talk to them right now?
Yes. There's a young boy. He's a Jewish boy. You're sitting on your couch right now. You're wearing sweatpants and a blue t-shirt. You know who you are. You have a condition with your knee, and it's your right knee. Right now, God is touching you. He is healing you. His presence is coming upon you right now. There's a lady out there with a blood disorder that you've just gone to the doctors within the last 2 days, and they've told you that you will not be living, that this will eventually kill you. We rebuke that in the name of Jesus, and you will be healed instantly now by the blood of the Lamb.
Mark,
thank you, Jesus.
You are very specific. You're not just a generalization. You're very specific. Do you see these things? Do you hear these things? How does this gift operate?
I see and hear both. When Vestal had prayed for Marlene, the anointing, unbeknownst to us, had fallen on us. It was to the point that Marlene and I would be going places and people would stop us in the street and see a bright white light around us, people that we've never known before, and ask us to pray for them. And we would pray for them and they would instantly be healed.
Give me an example of one.
We had a person, we were at Walmart, wasn't it?
Oh, you're one of those people that have a Walmart ministry.
Yeah. Well, we were shopping there and someone had come up to us and a situation like that, and we prayed for them and they were instantly healed. We've had pastors.
People just want to touch you.
Yeah, people would want to, for Marlene, people would just want to touch her. They would see something, a glow about her, and they would just want to touch her. Just, they saw the presence of the Lord on her, and they would just touch her, and that's all they wanted to do, and they'd walk away. We don't know what would happen, but it was just amazing. And through that, the giftings in us have gone stronger and stronger. And through that, the Lord had told us to, our great commission for us is to bring His healing presence to the world, and that's what we're doing now.
You're doing this right at this moment, but I believe that God wants you two to hold hands right now. You see, there is power in one person praying. But when a husband and wife pray mm-hmm. together, there is such an awesome power. I believe that, I feel the presence of God. I believe that if you two will agree in prayer for our audience right now, that what you are commissioned to do is going to happen. Just pray as the Holy Spirit directs right now. Look right into the camera.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as we come together in unity, Father, we ask your healing presence to come to the viewing audience now. To everyone that is out there in sickness and in bondage, we tell them to be loosed from that bondage now. Let the power of the Holy Spirit heal them from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
There's you've prayed for people, according to my notes, that have brain tumors, that five instantly healed of deafness.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
We had there was a service that we were at, and where I was at, that the pastor had, the word of knowledge had come, and I knew that there were people with hearing problems. And when I called them forth, that there were five people up there, and as I went down and the Holy Spirit working through me touched each one of those people, and they were all instantly healed. Some of them had not heard for 20 years, and they were instantly healed right there and then.
Tumors,
we had brain tumors, instantly healed, where someone had gone back to the doctors and had actually results back, where she had a tumor one time and we had prayed for her, the presence of the Lord came down, and she was instantly healed and had the actual documentation afterwards that there was nothing there.
Now you pray for, do you have the gift of discernment where you see evil spirits on people?
Yes.
Tell me about one.
There was one just recently when we were going down a prayer line and they had come forward and the woman had a demon within her, and the Lord has blessed me where I was able to see that on them and Marlene also.
You both saw it?
Yes.
And when...
Did you check notes? Did it look the same to both of you?
No, I had to tell them it wasn't finished.
And as we prayed, she was instantly delivered. Instantly delivered right there and then.
You know, I am very intrigued of those five deaf people. But you know something? You have ears, but you do not hear. You have eyes, but you do not see. You were built to receive love, but you don't receive that love. Someone's tampered with you. That someone is evil that's been around for a long time. But God has sent me to tell you that you are special. You are loved. And I believe many of you are going to experience even the degree of the love that Marlene experienced as you surrender, that is the word, to God. Repent of your sins. Tell him you're sorry. You say you're not a sinner? No, you're not compared to other people, but compared to the holiness of God, you are. Ask him to forgive you, to change you. Make Jesus your Messiah and Lord. Tell him to live inside of you. Make your peace with God. And I agree right now that the same love that Marlene experienced would flood you right now. You are special to God. No one's ever told you this before. You are loved. You are loved as much as Marlene is loved. And Marlene, you're loved a lot. You know that.
Yes, I do.
You know that. God's going to wrap his arms around you. The Messiah of Israel is just going to hug you. Experience that love right now. Right now. There's nothing to compare. And I'm going to be back with a real important word. Don't go away. Be right back.
And getting into that vision, it was an open vision where I saw a rent in heaven getting wider and wider and wider. And there were anatomical body parts descending onto the earth, along with beautifully wrapped gifts with ribbons, fruit, silver and gold. So as you, it's like watching a movie, envision this unfolding, you ask the Holy Spirit, what's it all about?